Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Good Monday morning. It's an extremely early Monday in Key's hometown of Los Angeles, California, but they are absolutely loving it. Every Major League Baseball team, Key,
yes,
has a slogan as we welcome you inside. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tons of NFL talk. Brady, Rodgers, Big Ben, Baker, all that on the way. But every team, even though we have no fans this year, has a marketing slogan. And the Dodgers' marketing slogan for years has been, think blue. Thinking about their color scheme. And I think after it got to 3-1, and the Dodgers eventually were able to overcome that to tie it at 3, and then in Game 7 they were down 2-0, you were thinking the worst. But now you weren't.
No, why would I?
Down 3-1 in the series, down 2-0 in Game 7?
It's 7 games. What were you doing yesterday?
Watching that game.
Okay, exactly. Right? I mean, think about it.
I wasn't saying I was believing in the Dodgers. I just said I was watching that game.
But the fact of the matter is that we pushed it to 7. You sat at home or wherever you were at with family, and you had to watch Game 7 because Game 3, you felt different. Game 4, you felt different. Game 5, you felt different. By the time we got to Game 6, you, just like everybody else, was like, damn, we done allowed them to get back in it. You know, and Jason Williams, that would be the basketball player from Duke, was poking fun at me, laughing, thinking, oh, look, you're Dodgers, blah, blah, blah. Then that quieted down slowly, and I kept telling you. I'm like, man, it's 7 games. Baseball is different. It's just it's baseball. It's a different game than basketball and football. You could be down 3-0 and storm back, just like the Dodgers did.
Just to sum it up, 4-3, Bellinger go ahead, and the Dodgers are in the World Series for the 21st time. So if you're just waking up this morning, it was a late one last night. If you're joining us this Monday morning, thanks for being with us again. 4-3 Dodgers in Game 7 to win the series 4-3. And now they take on a team that probably is at the other end of the payroll spectrum. It's going to be a real David Goliath showdown. Maybe not the matchup Major League Baseball wanted. You'd love the Yankees. You'd love the Astros. But this is a good story of big and small.
But it's still great because the Dodgers are in it, right? I mean, even though it's not two big markets, the Dodgers are in it. And I think that is the key for Major League Baseball, is having a big team in it. And you can look at the payroll. Yes, okay, the Dodgers are paying crazy money to their players with a raise, or paying a little bit, but that's not the Dodgers formula, nor is it the Yankees formula. That's just not what those organizations do historically. They like to make sure that their players are being paid well when they take the field.
Let's bring it full circle. So the Tampa Bay Lightning win the Stanley Cup, right? That's in Tampa. And then you come back and the team in LA wins the NBA championship. And now in the World Series, we have the Tampa Bay Rays going against L.A. Dodgers. I just like it, Key. And all I'm saying is, watching your team last night, I remember being somewhat controversial in the mid of the year with Dave Roberts and keeping Cody Bellinger in that sixth spot. But just the way it's lining up, batting six. Look at Mookie Betts, Corey Seager.
Lead off. You can't pitch around him.
I know. Justin Turner, Max Muncy, Will Smith. It just, well, the lineup is so dangerous.
Our lineup is interesting because if you got Betts leading off, then you got Seager. I mean, Seager could actually be the leadoff guy. I mean, you can move around and play with the pieces a lot of different ways. There's no question about it. I'm glad to see that Cody Bellinger finally got off, as Boomer would say, the schnei. He finally kind of got off. His playoff performances historically has always been kind of up and down, but he's always had this one moment, right? It's just this one big moment, and he did it again in Game 7 with a two-run jack. You know, so when you look at that, it's like, oh, okay. Well, if he gives us that in that moment, in those particular moments, we accept it all day long. He's a phenomenal young player. I just would like to see a little more consistency with him.
Understood. But I'll tell you who else gives you phenomenal moments: Mookie Betts. I mean, he robbed Freddie Freeman. I mean, that's just – it feels like he's made so many big-time defensive plays throughout this series, and just – he's incredible.
He belongs in Los Angeles. He's a Dodger. He belongs in L.A. His personality, just everything about him speaks L.A. Like, he's having fun. You could tell that he's enjoying these opportunities. Too bad, as fans, we don't get a chance to really be in the stadium to see what's going on. And that reminds me, Z, are they going to increase the attendance?
Yeah, it's going to be about 12,000 at the World Series. We'll say it at Arlington, at the home of the new home of the Texas Rangers, Globe Life Field. World Series starts tomorrow with game number one on ESPN Radio. So there will be more fans in the crowd. Rob Manfred, the commissioner, who will join us tomorrow, by the way, at 9:30 Eastern, did say it was a big goal of his to make sure we can get some level of fan participation, especially when most eyes are on us. The ALCS, NLCS are one thing, but the casual fan will now finally see the World Series is set, and he didn't want them to tune in and see a complete empty background. So as long as safety measures are in place.
What's the number now?
Right now, you didn't see very much at the NLCS. There was practically nobody at the ALCS at all, but this number should be around 12,000. To your point, Mookie Betts was great. Shoestring catch Saturday night. If you saw it, the Dodgers took off from there. But nobody was better, to your point, than Corey Seager, one of the best league championship series
MVP all day.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Five home runs in the LCS, five home runs, 11 RBI. That is one of the best performances you will ever see in the LCS.
And the crazy thing is, two years ago, we were trying to make a decision out west so that you know from a fan's perspective, not necessarily Andrew Freeman and our guy that's in San Francisco now.
Farhan Zaidi, the general manager of the Giants.
I didn't want to screw the name.
Who was with the Dodgers.
Who was with the Dodgers at the time. We was out there as a fan base deciding whether or not we move Corey Seager coming off an injury and re-sign Machado and maybe try and get him to slide to third and move JT, Justin Turner, to another position. We kept Seager at short, and now look at us.
Now look at it. We'll talk.
And didn't pay Machado.
No, you're right. The Padres did for $300 million, and the Dodgers found out that
not
he could stay
us.
In the division.
Yes.
Didn't really affect him. We'll talk much more about Andrew Friedman coming at 8 a.m. Eastern. He was the general manager that put together the Rays and put together the Dodgers. He'll be in the spotlight starting for Game 1 for sure. So we know the deal. Tampa advances in Major League Baseball Saturday night, and on Sunday, Tampa's football team stuns the world. The Packers spot him a 10-0 lead. Brady and company, bolstered by a terrific defense, win 38-10. Key, you've said it. If your quarterback doesn't make mistakes at the age of 43 and your defense is that opportunistic, you got a shot every week.
You do. And I think when you look at, despite who was in the lineup for them from an offensive standpoint, play defense. And Ty Bowles and the Tampa Bay Bucks played defense. They did exactly what I thought they would do from a defensive standpoint. I just didn't think that they would win because of Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has been hot. He's been smoking hot. And so when you look at it, it's like, no matter who he's throwing to, they're winning games. But once he threw that pick six, it completely changed the total momentum of the game. It shifted everything to Tom Brady. And every time I look up, it was like the Bucks were scoring. It was like
38 unanswered points.
Yeah, but I'm saying every time, you know, you go down, you have a sip of your tequila, you look back up, they score again. I mean, it was one of those deals where it was vintage Tom Brady. No matter what, like I said, no matter who was on the offensive side of the ball for them, it was vintage Tom Brady. He didn't do anything to cost his team. If this is Jameis Winston's a year ago, there may be a couple interceptions, even though there was a pick six. There may have been a fumble here. It would have been some turnovers, and this game probably would have went in another direction.
Can I ask you this about Green Bay? So I know Aaron Rodgers has been playing out of his mind. I know that he's in the MVP conversation.
Well, you know me. I'll take him out now.
Yeah, such a recency bias. I can't. But their defense has always been the question, right? So I sit there and I watch that game the other day, and I'm like, okay, is Tampa Bay that good? I understand their defense is really good, Coach Boyles and what he brings to the table in a defensive scheme. Or is Green Bay maybe not as good as we thought they were? Let's look at the teams Green Bay is beating. The Vikings, the Lions, Coach Bowles, excuse me. I hear you in my ear, Evan. Coach Bowles, sorry, I got it wrong. The Falcons, the Saints, okay, without Mike Evans, right? We talked about that. And now they get smacked by the Bucks.
I don't care about the teams that you put in front of people. They don't schedule them. They just beat them. And that's really all that really matters. In the end, the test comes when you start to play better teams week in and week out. Now you're gonna see what teams are made of. When you get the Bucks, and then the next week you get, I don't know, the Rams, and then the next week you get Kansas City. So when you start to roll that way, now I can kind of tell what type of team you are. Until then, you run four or five straight wins, no matter who you're playing, you knocking them down. It's like bowling pins.
Green Bay has a very favorable schedule, though. They play the Texans again, the Vikings, the 49ers, the Jags. I mean, they have a very favorable schedule.
But a team like the Texans is, even though they lost yesterday, that's not an easy opponent. I know we look at the win-loss record, Zubin, but they play well, and they're a good football team, so they can pop you at any moment.
And indeed, just on the other side, the Bucks will be at Las Vegas on Sunday Night Football. So that's where those two teams will go. Jay mentioned the Packers will be in Houston, be a part of Keyshawn, Jay,
Will,
and Zubin
Sunday Night Football
Nation.
With no partying in Vegas. That's
yes,
interesting.
With an empty billion-dollar stadium, 2020. Be a part of Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official. College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. And on our Twitter feed, we are simply asking you, more likely to still be their team's quarterback next year, Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield? Easy as that. Just pick one and then let us know on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. We'll read some of your tweets a little bit later in the program. Still to come, it's something the Steelers had none of last year, and they have a ton of this year, and it could make all the difference in the chase for the Super Bowl. That's next on ESPN Radio and smart speakers everywhere.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Blowout might be a little bit of an understatement. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Talk about the great Big Ben and the terrible Baker coming up with our own QB, Dan Orlovsky. He'll join us at 7:30 Eastern here on KJZ. Fellas, at the end of the day for the Steelers, it comes down to this. Last year, they had to go with either Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges at quarterback, a duck calling champion to replace a two-time Super Bowl winner. This year, with one big exception, they have avoided the injury bug. That's the injury to Devin Bush, their outstanding linebacker from Michigan, who's going to be out for the year with a torn ACL. He is injured, but in large part, as Jay has mentioned, over the last few weeks, if the Steelers stay healthy, they're as good as anybody. They could be a Super Bowl contender. The only thing injured key for the Browns is their ego. They walked in full of themselves, chest pumped out, 4-1 for the first time in more than a quarter century. We're going to win this game for Myles Garrett. The first time two teams have played since November 14th, where he swung the helmet at Mason Rudolph, if you recall. But same old for the 17th straight time at that stadium or in that city, Browns fall to Pittsburgh.
It's unfortunate. And I think that when you look at Cleveland, I had so much promise for them after the Baltimore loss that this team would get on track, and they've been on track for the most part. They've done a tremendous job for the most part in terms of how they played. They limited the mistakes. But for whatever reason, yesterday, that wasn't the case. And you could argue that defensively, they just were overmatched. From a defensive standpoint, Pittsburgh, even though Pittsburgh did not have Bush in the lineup throughout the course of the game, you look at the way that Mike Tomlin, the way that that defense played against that offense, it made Baker Mayfield look like the quarterback that we all thought that he wasn't going to be. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the numbers, he was sacked three times. You know, he threw an interception, a pick six, an ill-advised throw with everybody clouding over the receiver in the middle of the field. It was one of those deals where once it started to unravel for them, it just got worse. And you got to tip your hat to Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The one thing that I will continue to harp on and say, if you run the football and you allow your quarterback to just be somewhat pedestrian and need to make big throws when he can, and you play defense, you will go a long ways in the National Football League.
Whether you're Tom Brady, as you mentioned in the previous segment, or Ben Roethlisberger here.
Exactly. Or Nick Foles in Chicago. You just have to do that. A lot of people get caught up in he plays quarterback, he has to throw the ball 50 times a game because he plays quarterback. You're not going to win long-term like that.
Mm.
Just doesn't work that way, Jay.
I just feel like I came to accept that the Browns
– or the Browns.
They're not the top tier of the AFC North, right? We watched the Baltimore Ravens smash them. We watched the Steelers smash them. They are still a decent team, just not upper echelon.
They're not ready for that yet.
Exactly. And what I recognize about the Steelers is that, Key, I really do believe if Big Ben can stay healthy, they have a legitimate chance to win a Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
He's only played one full season, though, since 2015. Only one. And that's what you wonder about. Overall, the health of Big Ben.
He has been in and out of the lineup over the last several years. There's no question about it. And Mike Tomlin has done a tremendous job without him in the lineup. But now that you have him back, this is what you get. They've discovered Chase Claypool, another receiver to go with Juju Smith-Schuster.
You got it.
He should just keep his name. I know him as Juju Smith. He started adding other names. I got to
remember it. You know, that's what we have to do.
But we should mention, Key, real quick, for those that don't know, he actually put Schuster on his name because of the father that raised him. And so he's paying homage by putting that on the back of the jersey.
Absolutely.
As you know, as an SC guy.
Yeah.
Great thing.
I'm just Juju Smith. Smith. And then I got to add the Schuster part to it to go along with him. You got Connor in the backfield. I mean, it just – this team looks like the team that went to the Super Bowl under Mike Tomlin. There's no question about it. They're at the top of the class in the AFC. Don't just think, as I said at the beginning of the year, Kansas City is rolling to the Super Bowl without going through a Pittsburgh Steeler or a Baltimore Raven team.
It's something that Jay said before, and Jay, I think it's one of the most salient things we've heard on the show, but this is the way we do sports in 2020.
You can
pat yourself on the back. Don't injure that right shoulder.
Keyshawn, pat on the back.
He's like Bellinger. He popped that shoulder out.
I mean, every email chain we're on, if it's some kind of rundown, Keyshawn gives himself a pat on the back.
Go pop that back into place. We'll get Kiki Hernandez to go pop that baby back into place.
I don't know how to take that right now, but I'm just going to let it go.
Cody Bellinger pop it back in place too.
But you've said it, Jay. Every time somebody has a bad game, they're a total bum. We mentioned this during the NBA playoffs. Anthony Davis, who's an all-world player, bad game, we're all over him. Same thing, right?
I didn't say that, but go ahead.
But that's the way that in sports. You do say a lot, though. I will say that. But in sports, right? Aaron Rodgers has a bad game, so maybe it's not the best Aaron Rodgers we've ever seen. Phillip Rivers has a great game. Suddenly, he's not immobile anymore. Baker Mayfield has a bad game. Suddenly, he's not the Baker Mayfield we thought. Tom Brady bounces back. Suddenly, he knows the downs. Jimmy Garoppolo bounces back. Suddenly, we're not worried about benching him for Nick Mullins or somebody named C.J. Beathard. So it's those sorts of things that we have to think about just on a game-to-game, week-to-week basis. That's just the way we are as sports fans. I'm not saying it's great, but that's just another example of where Baker falls into that.
I'm with you. And I also think sometimes we talk about sports every single day, and I know we get lost in the vortex of it. But, I mean, there is something about starting off the season, not having OTAs, not having preseason training camp, and getting better throughout the season, correct? The Browns have gotten better. We watched this team gotten better. Granted, they didn't show it the other night, but they have overall gotten better.
They have gotten better. The Pittsburgh Steelers are better.
Agreed.
Football team.
I agree with you.
Pittsburgh Steelers have a better head coach right now. There's no question about it. Baker Mayfield was 10 of 18, threw two interceptions. When you're 10 of 18 and you throw two picks, they were trying to play that run the football, play defensive game, and it just got out of way. It got away from them. I mean, it got away from them. Now, with Pittsburgh, maybe there's a different philosophy and a different approach that Kevin Stefanski and the Cleveland Browns have to take in playing them versus playing a different type of team where you can have that style of offense and it worked. You can't – with Pittsburgh, you can't play their game. You got to play something totally different. When you try to play their game the way – in their style, you're going to lose.
Can I get some respect from you?
What's up?
About the Steelers when I told you they were playing the Giants. I'm like, this is a team that can win the Super Bowl. And you looked at me and dismissed me and kept killing Daniel Jones.
That was week one. You called me back in week one.
You kept killing Daniel Jones. He's not the answer.
He's not the answer.
Okay.
I just
want to make sure that we clarified that. That's all. I just want a little bit of football respect sometimes from you.
To Jay's point.
I gave you any respect, sir.
To Jay's point, who loves the Steelers if they can stay healthy. Big litmus test coming. They'll be at Tennessee Sunday. Remember, that's the game that was postponed from earlier because of the COVID outbreak, rescheduled for week 7. So that's finally on the books. And then they'll be at Ravens. Baltimore in back-to-back games. We'll learn plenty about them. Still to come, can you save your season and your program and your coaching reputation 5 games into your tenure at your new job? That's on the way.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's a pleasure to welcome in Mike Norvell on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Florida State was more driven against UNC on Saturday. If you saw that Saturday night on ABC, more driven, brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Coach, good morning. I know it's been an adversity-filled year, which we're going to get into here in just a second, but to take on a top-5 team with so much else swirling around college football, people look up and see what your program has done after a couple of down years through no fault of your own. You're a first-year head coach. What does it feel like to get this win under the duress you guys have been under seemingly all season long?
Well, good morning, guys. And, obviously Saturday night was a big night for our program. And it was a tremendous joy for our players, for our staff. All that we've been working through throughout this year. I mean, on the field, off the field, in all aspects. To go out and have a win like that, to see the effort, the resiliency that showed up throughout our team. I mean, it wasn't pretty there in moments in the second half, but our guys continued to fight, continued to believe, and it was just a great joy to see that we finished 1 point ahead and were able to have that celebration there that evening.
I know what it's like to be big time though now, because I text you and you never responded back to me, man.
let me just tell you, Keyshawn, when a job changes and all those numbers go away, man, I must apologize, but I definitely have to get you back.
No, I know. I figured it was one of two things. I figured you hit ignore or the number changed and you just, said, oh, well. But, hey.
Don't worry, Mike. I hit ignore all the time.
I'm good. I'm glad to see that you're doing good. And I want to ask you this, though, Coach. You obviously could not coach against Miami because of the COVID situation. How was that experience?
That was one of the toughest experiences I've ever had. And I was grateful for our staff and just the ability, to be a part of the week virtually. But anytime that you're separated from the guys, I mean, the emotional investment that goes into every day and all that you do. And so having to sit back at home and watch the game basically as a fan, really having no input, in those 3.5 hours, and that was such a challenge. And the thing that hurt me the most was that game didn't go the way that we wanted. I mean, Miami got after us, and the time that hurt the most was there late in the game, because that's where you want to be with your guys, and that's why I coached to be able to lift them up, to be able to help them through those challenging moments. And but I do believe that we've grown from that moment. I think that through each experience that we've had throughout the course of this year, throughout the course of this this season. Our guys are really approaching it as learning experiences. And we've been able to grow as a team. We've been able to grow as a staff and individuals. And I'm excited about what I'm seeing from the response of this program. And definitely excited about our future.
With that being said, the ACC had nothing in place at the time like the SEC, which allowed Coach Nick Saban obviously to test out in his positive test and be able to coach the team. Should the ACC have something in place like that?
That's something that I think, always continually gets evaluated as things work along. This virus is something that there's not a ton known about, and the best ways to operate and to be able to work through it. I know we have the protocols. I believe in our protocols, and so as we continue to evaluate this as the season moves on, I'm sure that the powers that be will always continue to explore. But I do believe that the safety of our players, the safety of our fans, of everybody involved there in game day is the top priority. And so, I believe in what we have in place, and they will always be consistently evaluated as we move on.
Mm-hmm. Mike, it seems like everybody has to be extremely malleable with the way the season is moving forward with COVID. Do you feel that the ACC should have something in place about allowing coaches to coach remotely if they do come down with COVID?
I think that's something when you're in the course of a game. Just the resources that would be available. I understand the policies, and that's something that it's unfortunate. And obviously you want to be there. You want to be a part of helping to impact the game. But when you look at the fairness of how you would operate, I understand why that's in place. No matter how bad you want to be a part of it, if you can't be there physically at the stadium, in the game, you probably shouldn't be a part of being able to have that impact.
And how would you sum up this season thus far, considering you're dealing with social injustice and the pandemic at the same time?
This is a year of growth for our program. It's a year of building relationships. It's a year of trying to make an impact in all aspects. And when you look across our country, at all the things that are going on. In a positive view, I think our players, I think student athletes across college football see the voice that they have, the platform that they've been provided, and obviously an opportunity to make this world a better place. And you have to make the choice of what you're willing to do and the investment that you're willing to make, in all areas of your life. And we spend so much time talking about the on the field and the growth that you see, in that regards. But I've seen tremendous growth from every member of our football program, staff, players, in trying to make an impact off of it. And really pleased with the steps that have been taken, obviously the awareness of the issues that are going on throughout our country that have to change. And we know that we have an opportunity to make this world a better place.
It's well said. Priorities over pigskin for sure. You got Louisville coming up this Saturday. I was watching them a couple days ago. They played Notre Dame as tough as anybody has played them. And I know a little over a month from now, the ultimate litmus test in year one, the year of progress, as you call it, when you welcome Clemson to Doak Campbell Stadium. Best of luck the rest of the season. Stay safe, Coach.
Thanks so much, and go Noles.
All right.
Great stuff. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including Tom Rinaldi, to talk a little more college football about that other big game over the weekend. Not to take anything away from Florida State's big win, but Alabama got one too. He'll be with us at 8:10 a.m. Eastern on the return of Nick Saban, which surprised some people, but maybe didn't surprise others, including the man sitting about 6 feet, exactly 6 feet, to my left. Let's talk a little NFL, the Pats, what's going on with them. But first, we'll go from A to Z. And From A to Z is brought to you by Redbox, new at Redbox, Irresistible, a hilarious comedy from the writer-director Jon Stewart. Yes, that Jon Stewart, starring Steve Carell and Rose Byrne. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch. The Dodgers rally in Game 7 to complete a comeback for the ages to win the National League pennant, advancing to their 21st World Series. Again, they were down 3-1 in the series, rallied to tie it, down 2-0 in Game 7. Cody Bellinger, go-ahead solo, Jack in the 7th, provided the margin.
Yeah!
A 4-3 win in the game, a 4-3 win in the series. They'll take on the Rays in the World Series. Game 1 on ESPN Radio. Pre-game coverage starts at 7:30 Eastern. And the commissioner, Rob Manfred will join our program tomorrow at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. The World Series set to go from Arlington, Texas. We just talked about ACC football with Coach Mike Norvell. Clemson, who I mentioned, they'll see on November 21st, just over a month from now, remains number one in the top 25. If you woke up a little bit late on Saturday and flipped on the game on ABC like I did, it was 52-7 Clemson at the half. 52-7 Clemson at the half. This is Trevor Lawrence's Heisman season. Of course, he's yet to win college football's most prestigious honor, but keep going like this, we'll have it. Again, Alabama over Georgia. We'll talk to Tom Rinaldi, who is there in T-Town. He'll be with us at 8:10 Eastern. And speaking of T-Town, Tua Tagovailoa, for the few years he was there, dazzled Alabama fans, and he made his NFL debut as the Dolphins shut out the Jets 24-0. Gangrene is the only team in the league without a win, but more importantly for Tagovailoa, coming back after that devastating right dislocation of his hip. After the game, sitting on the field, FaceTimed his family right where that final drive ended, just taking a seat and taking stock of an amazing comeback. And the Tua era, maybe not totally, because Ryan Fitzmagic is playing well, but the Tua era, in a way, has begun. If you're wondering, stat nerds, he was 2-for-2 out of the gate in his first action
that would
in
be
the
Z.
NFL. Great stuff. All right, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Let's get straight into the Pats. So for the first time in 19 years, the Pats are under 500 after five games. That was Tom Brady's first year as a starter. Bill Belichick tried everything, right? The guys were off 13 days. They lose to the Denver Broncos 18-12. Denver, by the way, kicks six field goals in the game to win. Pats offensive line allowed four sacks. They were sloppy. Belichick tried everything. I mean, who am I to question Bill Belichick? I love the Subway commercials, but who am I to question him here? He tried everything to get his team going. They actually held, I don't know if you guys saw this, they had a team meeting high school style. You would love this, both you guys. They had it up in the bleachers. Yeah. They actually had a meeting. Mm-hmm. We're going to go in the bleachers. We're going to just try to shake the cobwebs, do something. First game in 13 days, 18-12 Denver. They looked all out of sorts, but under the circumstances, Key, even with the return of Cam Newton, you kind of understand it.
No, you do. But they're a better football team than that, and Bill Belichick knows that. But for whatever reasons, they haven't been able to practice at the level that they needed to win this football game. You know, one day they're in the building, the next day they're out. One day they're in the building, the next day they're out. One day they Zoom meetings, the next day they're in the building meeting. They're practicing one day. So it was all over the map. Cam Newton, obviously, two interceptions yesterday. He wasn't sharp. They were not sharp as a coaching staff. I'm not worried about New England. Yeah, they could be 2-3. Okay, so what? It's a long ways to go. I mean, they've still got a long ways to go. I'm not worried about them at all. I think that they'll be fine. I've seen New England in positions where people have written them off in the past and said, oh, well, they're not, and then they wind up in a damn Super Bowl. I mean, it's just so. Until they are mathematically eliminated, I'm not worried about them.
It just feels like the game was sloppy overall, though, Key. I mean, both quarterbacks threw for two INTs. There was no rhythm to the game. And my thing is, you know, obviously this morning all these narratives start to build because that's what happens in the media. The Miami Dolphins have a better record in the AFC East than the New England Patriots. This is the first time Bill Belichick under 500 without Tom Brady. What is he going to do? Stop. I'm with you on all that. Just we need to stop all that.
Yeah, I'm not worried about them.
You can build a narrative to go against the Pats. It's easy to do, but doesn't mean you have to do it just because it's there.
Until they are mathematically eliminated, I'm not going against them. I don't care what their records say. They could be 7-9 and get in the playoffs. They go into the Super Bowl until they're out of the playoffs.
With the seventh spot this year, 7-9 might just do it. Cam Newton, you guys have all said this is pros. There's no excuses. But when you're out there one time in a span of 13 days consistently, Cam Newton said, look, that's going to affect you.
I know exactly, you know, what it is. It's just respectfully for the sake of where we are right now. You know, I don't think it's beneficial for me to speak on that. Being obviously the performance today, you know, it showed a lot of, the time off show, but yet, you know, like I said, I have to be better and I will be better.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Quick early look ahead to next week for the Pats, because obviously at this point you want to get them back to 500. As Jay said, sitting there at 2-3, what's going on? You're going to get a lot of hype this week. Nobody's talking about it. Let's be the first. It's Monday morning. We're on before everybody else. Jimmy G's return to Foxborough this weekend, San Francisco. Ooh. At New England.
Yeah, it's not a lot of hype, but they're coming off a win, beating the Rams last night. You know, Jimmy G played well. but it is going to be that conversation. See, you could have had me instead of Cam Newton. That'll be the storyline in the Boston Globe and all the other newspapers.
You'll be on the radio in Boston this week, probably.
I'll be on the radio in Boston talking about it on
WEEI, right?
WEEI.
Yep.
Zubin, you're so impressive.
And so
I'm paying attention. I read all the emails. Just, there's a lot of emails.
Just like that. Just like that.
The emails.
So when you look at it, they've got to bounce back. They've got a San Francisco team that feels good now coming into Foxborough. No fans. The weather will probably be good. It hasn't changed yet. And then it could be one of those games where Belichick dials up snow. Who knows? I mean, he may just dial it up, you know? And so
that Raiders affinity still there.
I don't worry about the Pats at all. I just don't worry about them.
It's the Pats are not a concern. Jimmy G coming back in town. Of course, the narrative then continues to build. I love it. And then the following week, they play the Bills. So it's like you have back-to-back weeks to kind of grind into the scenario. The one thing that I was a little bit surprised about, Key, is that usually when you see Bill Belichick have 2 weeks to prepare for a team.
It was a different 2 weeks, though.
Yeah, I understand. I know. A lot of moving parts. They're obviously dealing with Cam and things of that sort. But typically, the schemes are so on point that that takes care of itself with the execution of the scheme.
Yeah, but when you only practice in, what did they practice, 3 times in those 2 weeks, that 13 days?
Less than that, actually.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, that's hard. No matter what's in place, you could tell there was something off from the delivery standpoint of throwing the football to the running the ball to the defense being in positions.
I only give you a retort to this because we actually talked about it before, but then you have the Titans. That how long did the Titans have off, Zubin?
Yeah, they had 16 days off.
So then they come back and they dominate their opponent. So on one end, same didn't have the same prep time, same issue.
Yeah, but
come
it's
back, dominate their opponent.
Different teams, different players, different situations.
Understood.
I mean, it's just different.
Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to honor our veterans by donating cars to move their lives forward, especially in times of need. Learn more about their Keys to Progress program and plans for 2020 at keystoprogress.com. The key for the Pats was obvious. They just couldn't get into rhythm. Drew Locke, 41-yard completion on the second play of the game. It just sort of felt out of sorts. The key for the Bucs was an opportunistic defense. Sure, they fell down 10-0. Tom Brady did his part. But Bruce Arians, known for offense, as Jay mentioned, it was Todd Bowles and that defense that really spurred them. After the game, Aaron Rodgers said, yeah, this was embarrassing, but frankly, we probably needed it.
I feel like we needed a little bit of a wake-up call at some point this season because things have been so good. And there's been so much talk maybe outside the building about the ease with which we're, you know, moving the ball on offense and scoring. You know, I think we need a kind of a kick in the ass a little bit as a little bit of a wake up to stop feeling ourselves so much and get back to the things that got us this position.
Love that honesty. They fall from 4-0 to 4-1. He also did say when he got home he was going to have a little extra scotch. He does like scotch the way Key loves tequila. So he's a little stronger on the scotch after that particular performance. You've said it before, Jay, and I agree with you. Key has always said you play who's on the schedule. But through their 5 games, it's not like it's been a murderer's row. And this is really a team that they faced that they knew they were going to have to play their best football against. And they fell flat. Just for 60 minutes, but they fell flat.
All I'm saying is I know that Aaron Rodgers is having one hell of a year, but just they beat up on the Vikings. Okay, the Vikings are the Vikings. We've seen the Vikings, right? The Lions.
Matt Patricia.
The Lions, okay? The Saints. They were a little bit hobbled at that time, but still, good win. Then the Falcons. And then you get blasted by the Bucks. So, look, I understand that they're still playing without a couple pieces. And they still have Aaron Rodgers, but I agree with Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes you need a kick in the butt to get yourself into a different gear. Why are you looking that way, Key?
You could have said it. It's fine.
Yeah, a kick in the butt.
You didn't have to say butt. You could have said the other one. It's all right.
All right, but
that's why I looked at you because I'm like,
you know where I was going. It's early in the morning. Let me get some more coffee in me. Let me get the energy level up first.
All right, teacher.
Kicking the keister. Kicking the ass, all right?
At least I didn't say keister.
Kicking the ass,
Don't kill me on butt. Kill him on keister now.
It's the third time I've said kicking the ass now. Okay, kicking the ass. That's what you wanted, right?
Fourth time.
Oh, gosh, you guys.
See, you bring the violence out of people.
Now I'm violent. This dude. God.
On the other side, though, you're saying Tom Brady, even at 43, yeah, everybody brought him down there. Tampa Bay playing the Super Bowl 55 in Tampa. At the end of the day, you're seeing the recipe is always the same, no matter what quarterback you are, no matter what age you are. If you have an opportunistic defense and you don't blank it up, you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, you'll be fine. No interceptions. You know, look at Tom Brady's numbers yesterday. Those are pedestrian numbers, right?
Very.
They threw for less than 200 yards. But very effective and efficient. Ronald Jones rushed for over 100 yards. The defense got Aaron Rodgers off his mark. So when you look at that, that has always been the success to get to the Super Bowl. I know people look at, they look at Kansas City from a year ago. And the first thing they say is, Patrick Mahomes, oh, he's throwing the ball all over the place. They won the Super Bowl. That's not how they won the Super Bowl. He hit a few plays. If Jimmy G connects with with Emmanuel Sanders,
right,
game might be over. We're not even having that conversation. So I like defense, quarterbacks not making mistakes and running the ball and making big throws when need be to get to the Super Bowl and win it. That's what I always like.
Zubin, can I start it?
Go for it.
Are you ready?
Go for it.
Is it the year for Tampa? Tampa Bay Lightning, Tampa Bay Rays,
and
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's a good three.
Super Bowls in Tampa Bay. Is it the year? Just throwing it out there.
I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think so.
Coming from the LA guy.
Well, first of all, the Rays not going to win, so let's not start that conversation.
Three-team teaser? You're a gambling guy. Three-team teaser?
Yeah, I like it.
You already got one in the bag.
I'm not taking it, but I kind of like it.
And the Lightning won because my Kings and my Ducks couldn't figure it out.
Keys California connections, taking every... Got to,
my Sharks, too.
The Sharks, too.
I threw that one in there, too.
Brady's numbers yesterday to Keys' point, 17 for 25, a buck, 66, two touchdowns. Still to come, $66 million fully guaranteed, and that guy himself saying, it might be time to bench me?
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.